The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey. And this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are brought to the person of St. John the Baptist, who is one of the figures of Advent that lead us to celebrate Christmas. John the Baptist is a very interesting person in history and in the scriptures. He is known as the last prophet sent by God to lead people to open their hearts to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also known to be quite the troublemaker. It seems that wherever he goes, he causes trouble. And what is the trouble he causes? It's not the trouble of sin, it's the trouble of calling people to repentance. That's his first message when he sees people. He's got all these people out there and he says, "Repent, the kingdom of God is coming." In other words, he's telling people, "You're doing wrong and I'm here to tell you that." Now, this is a message that nobody really wants to hear. You know, if someone comes into your home and they're just meeting you and they say, "Hey, you're a problem and I'm going to straighten you out," you'd be like, "Man, get out of my house. I don't want to hear this." But the irony here is John the Baptist was very well liked. So many people really liked him and they trusted him. The Bible says all these people from all over the area were coming to hear his preaching and to receive that sign of repentance and acknowledgement of their own sins. How is it possible that someone, John the Baptist, who has this really tough message to give to the people, is so well liked? Well, I think it's because people saw in John the Baptist someone who was authentic, someone who was real, someone who wouldn't put on a phony religious show. He was the real deal. What you see is what you get. And also, I believe that these people who went out to see him themselves were authentic. They were sincere before God. They wanted to know God better. They wanted to live in right relationship to the Lord. And they saw in John the Baptist someone who could really help them in this relationship to God. John the Baptist, very, very well liked. But he gets a lot, actually not a lot, just a small group of haters. You know what they say about haters? Haters are gonna hate. And he's got these people who hate him something fierce. They are the crooked and phony religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who by outward appearances are super holy, are devoted to the mystery of God, but inwardly they're corrupt. John the Baptist, in one of the Gospels, he meets them when they come out to see him too, and he says, "You brood of vipers." He sees these religious leaders and publicly he says, "You guys are a bunch of snakes." And what are snakes? Well, they're slippery. They can get through situations pretty easy, and they spread poison everywhere they go. They try to poison everything they can encounter. Everybody they encounter, they try to spread some kind of poison to them. John the Baptist can see through their religious illusion. He knows they're corrupt, and so he goes right after them. "You guys are snakes," and they become his enemies right away. And they become his enemies very quickly and very powerfully. Can you imagine the things that they said about John the Baptist when they had their secret meetings? They'd get together in their offices, in their buildings, in their temples, and have all their conferences, and they say, "Let's talk about this John the Baptist guy," and who knows what horrible things they said about him. Well, John the Baptist actually is more powerful than them, much more powerful. And the reason why he's more powerful is because he is in the light of God. He's not the light himself, but he is in the light of God. They're not. They seem like they're all powerful, but they're not. He is. John the Baptist is. He's got all the power because he is in the light of the one who created everything, God himself. Now Jesus, later on in the gospel, praises John the Baptist and refers to him as one of the greats, as one of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist ends up, as we know, being put to death because of his mission. And in the Bible, we hear that he's put to death because of what he said about this guy named King Herod. But he had a lot of powerful enemies in this crowd, not among the people who come in to see him, but among the religious leaders. And they probably listed a whole bunch of reasons why they wanted him put to death. And they probably worked really hard to make it happen. And yet he's praised by Jesus Christ. So we have to look at John the Baptist for an example, because at the end of our lives, we want Jesus to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to us, as he said of John the Baptist. So I want to point out two things in his life, the life of John the Baptist, that we can take to ourselves. Number one, we have to accept the call of repentance. We have to accept the call of repentance. If we saw John the Baptist and had no regard for him, we'd be going against what Jesus thinks is good, what Jesus says is good. We don't want to do that. We have to bow down to John the Baptist's call to repentance. You know, his mission, as tough as it is part of a fulfillment of a prophecy about him, that he's come to give comfort to God's people. See, the thing is when we repent of our sins, our lives get a little better. They really do. If you've ever been involved in this good program, the Alcoholics Anonymous program, you have a lot of people who realize that their lives got better, in a way more comfortable, when they repented of their sins. Well, this is true for any sin that we repent of. Our lives become better. So we have to accept this call of repentance. We don't have to beat ourselves up over our sins, but we really have to accept what John the Baptist came to give in his mission. Secondly, this is a tough one, we cannot be afraid to call out others who have done wrong. Now, John the Baptist earned some powerful enemies, a number of powerful enemies, when he called out the hypocrisy and corruption of the phony religious leaders. He got ostracized, he got made fun of probably, all kinds of bad things were probably said about him. He's imprisoned and killed. But Jesus praised him, remember that. If Jesus praised John the Baptist, it means John the Baptist did something right. John the Baptist wasn't a failure, he was a resounding success. We cannot be afraid to call out corruption when we see it. Now, we have to be merciful. We have to be kind to everyone. We cannot be judgmental. We don't want to go down the path of attacking everything about everybody. You know, sometimes we have to let things go. Sometimes, you know, everybody is a sinner, right? And we all fall short of God's glory, and we have to be gentle and compassionate to others. But sometimes we find situations that are so blatantly wrong and evil that we have to speak out. And if we don't speak out, we become part of the problem. I knew of a police officer, good man, right is right, wrong is wrong type of guy. And he realized in his police department early on, a certain part of the police were actually corrupt and they were criminals and they were doing stuff that was so wrong, it was crazy. And so he spoke out against it. And what happened is this particular officer got ostracized by the other policemen and he was treated very, very badly for many years. But as time went by, he emerged victorious. And the police officers who refused to heed his call to repent got in some really deep trouble, something fierce. Never had to happen. If they just listened to him, things would have got a lot better for everybody. I knew a guy involved in the field of sports, and he was at the top of his league. And he noticed there was dishonesty in the management of the sport. And he called it out right away. And he kept complaining against it again and again. And he got ostracized from the sport. And he was criticized up one side and down the other, treated very badly. But in the end, he came out of it really on the top, not on the top of the league, but but he was in the light, and he was in the truth. And this kind of thing is something that happens in organizations all the time, where someone has to be the John the Baptist. Someone has to say, you know what, there's a problem here that is evil and is corrupt and is hurting a lot of people in the process. And you got to speak out against it. If you don't, then you become part of the problem. If you do speak out against corruption in whatever organization you're part of, well, you're going to lose for a while. But remember this, you are in the light of God. Now think about this. At some point, we're all going to get caught by God. We're all going to get caught by Him when we face Him. And if you're caught living in the light of God, that's a good thing. Well done, good and faithful servant, Jesus will say to us. But if you get caught living in the darkness of evil and corruption, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. John the Baptist had this eternal vision of reality. He saw things as they are. And he wanted people, when they get caught by God, to be caught in the truth and in grace. That's why he called people to repentance. And he didn't give up, even when it meant all kinds of trouble for him. John the Baptist is our Advent figure, that whose example and teaching helps us to be ready to welcome Jesus more into our lives. We should accept his call to repentance. It's a good one. It really is. Even if it's tough for us, it's a good one. And we should never be afraid to stand up for what's right in whatever situation we find ourselves. We can be gentle and merciful about this, but we have to remain in the light and in the truth. And then one day Jesus will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." God bless you.